We're starting off a new series this morning, and it's all about invitation, the power of invitation, and inviting people to know Jesus. It's the most important thing we can do, you know, as Christians. I really believe, actually, as the church, we exist for many reasons, you know. We exist to worship Jesus, yes. We exist to be salt and light, to stop death, yes. Preserve. And just to shine like a city on a hill. But one of our primary reasons for existing is the mission of Jesus. Agreed? And that is to say, preach the gospel and to let the whole world know that Jesus is alive. And that I really believe we're coming into an exciting season as a church, and I believe that we're going to come into a season of growth like we've never had. I know it's hard to believe on bank holiday weekend and there's hardly anyone here, but I really believe this place will be filled. Do you believe that? And so, obviously, you have ebbs and flows like bank holiday weekends, but actually, year on year, I believe we're going to get to like the end of the year and we're going to say, wow, God is good. God is good. We took some steps of faith. You know, we've made some space. We're creating space. I believe God is creating space for us and giving us increase in our kind of like outreach, increase in our reach of people. And God is bringing us into a spacious place because Jesus is still at work. He is still preaching the gospel, saving souls. And this is the thing. This is something I'm going to share this morning, something very key. Jesus said, the harvest is still plentiful. There is still work for us to do. The harvest is plentiful. So we can look forward to a great future as a church. Do you know this? If we got our heart set on God. Keep talking. That is hard to keep talking. When you are. I'll just
find it hard. You know, I get distracted
really easy. Yeah. Especially when you're touching my ear like that. Thanks, boss. Is that better? Can you hear me now? Yeah. Was I too loud?
No, that was
thank you, boss. Thank you, mate. So, keep talking. I'm getting all goosebumped now. So the thing is, this is what I believe. I believe we're coming into an exciting time, a spacious place, and we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep believing God and keep like focusing, praying, keep speaking faith and believing, and just keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And that's why we exist. We exist for the mission of Jesus. Turn with me in your Bibles. Or your smartphones, to Luke chapter 14, and we're going to go from verse 15. So, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just brought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another one said, 'I've just brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another one said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and into the alleys and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir, what you've ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master said to his servant, 'Then go into the roads, the country lanes and compel them to come so that my house will be full.' I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste, the ones that rejected." This really for me shows the heart of God. God's heart, you know, God's banquet is going to be full. God's heart for his church is that we will be full of people coming to know Jesus, but God wants a full heaven, you know? He wants a full banquet. God's heart is for people, and if people reject, you know, God doesn't just get angry at creation and say, "Forget ya, who cares, and you're welcome for creation. By the way, I'm leaving you to it." But he says, "All right, if you reject, go then to the poor, the blind, the crippled, go into the countries, go everywhere and invite everybody, because my banquet is for everyone." This is the heart of God. And sometimes, you know, we can get into this thing where we kind of like, we can look down sometimes on the lost or on the world or on society. And we can kind of like have this protectionist thing where we just need to kind of like be safe till Jesus comes. But actually, Jesus wants us right there in the midst, inviting and saying, come to the banquet, you know. And this is the heart of God. It's not that we will hide, shrink back, but actually, first of all, have this concept that God is no respecter of people, no matter our status, our race, our language, where we're from, how much money we make, what we do. God doesn't care about anything. He just wants everybody, and his banqueting house will be full. And when Jesus comes, he's going to come when his house is full. You know this? And so we've got a plan. We've got a work to do. Jesus has a mission, and his mission is to let the whole world know and to invite the whole world. And so God's response to the people that rejected, he didn't spend, you know, the servant didn't spend all day trying to compel these people and trying to waste their time, like hours and hours and hours with these people. They went then to other people, and there are people out there. There are people in your sphere of life. There are people in your workplaces, in your families. They would come if only they were invited. Do you know that?
Yeah.
There are some that won't come, and that's fine. But there are some people in your life that will come. Somebody said recently, I was reading something, I forget, I can't even quote. But apparently we all have about seven people that we're in close relationship that are not churched, so that seven close people we could actually invite to church, and some of them would be open to coming. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of them would be open to Jesus. Some of them would be open to the gospel. We have this idea. Sometimes we get into this thing where we think, if I invite so-and-so, or if I step out, if I do something brave, I'll be rejected. Rejection ain't a bad thing. It will happen. You know, some people will say no. But the thing is, if we're throwing the net and we're kind of like just with braveness, with courage, just inviting, telling people, sharing our story, sharing our testimony, eventually some people will come. And it gets easier and easier. And I'm talking about, we say in this church, in this kind of like, in this local church, this local body, this local house, we want to have this kind of culture, this kind of like thing where it's really easy to invite people to church, invite the lost to come to know Jesus, because we are definitely going to preach the gospel on a Sunday. You know we do this. We're going to give an altar call at the end again every week. And it's easier. I think it becomes easier when an invitee will become an invitor. It just becomes easy. We can break decades of people not reaching out, decades of people just being inward looking, focused on their own needs. We can break decades with one foul swoop, one move of God, and we can have a church that is just full of people inviting people, full of people sharing their story, sharing the gospel, and seeing this house filled. Amen. This house is not going to get full. This local church is not going to get full because of some amazing event we do, one-off event. It's not going to get full because of one amazing message that somebody preaches or one visiting speaker. It's going to get full when all of us have caught the vision and have caught the fire and are on fire for telling people about Jesus, because this is what we do. I'll tell you what we do as well. When I say the word evangelism, you get scared. We put the word evangelism on a pedestal, on evangelist, but God has called us all to be soul winners for Jesus. And we put it on a pedestal and say, oh, that's not my calling. It's everybody's calling, you know what I'm saying? And we put it on a pedestal, we get a bit fearful, and I'm not sure I can do that. Let me tell you this, you can do that, because the Spirit of God lives in you. And so also we can get this selfish thing, like literally, some people don't even want growth. They don't want the church to grow, and they can become so selfish. You know, Christians, we can become selfish sometimes. And immature, and sometimes we get offended and we leave churches, or we get offended. Like literally, I've had people leave churches in the past where I've been because I'm preaching growth and because the church is growing.
Yeah, funny, ridiculous.
It's insane. We exist to grow. We exist. Growth is health. Let me tell you this. There are two types of change. There's growth and there's death. We don't want to be in the death category. We want to be in the growth category. People literally telling me, for dramatic effect, telling me on a Sunday, just before I'm about to get up and preach, they've literally told me, by the way, this is my last Sunday. Do you know what I mean? How immature is that? And they expect me to weep and be, that's good for you. Go. You know, because, and actually the people I was working with in the past, I was working with some pastors in a team, and they used to have a meeting to discuss somebody's leaving and what we can learn from this and what we can do different. I'm like, I don't want to meet, I want to party. Do you know what I mean? If somebody immature and selfish leaves because they don't like the music or they don't like the fact that we're changing and growing and people are getting saved and they've lost their seat on a Sunday, I think if they leave, it's something to celebrate, am I right? And they were meeting and weeping, and I'm like, I can't weep. I've said, I think personally we should celebrate this, you know. And this is what we get into. We get into this thing where we want things our way and we want to do things our taste. But let me tell you, like, we exist as a church. We exist. Our mission primarily is to see Jesus lifted high. Uh-huh. And we exist for the mission of Jesus, which is to reach lost people. We may lose our chairs on a Sunday, you know, and we may have people coming in. We want to invite everybody. So we might have people coming in that are loud and obnoxious and rude and mean. And I remember in my church, they were sitting on the front row, these people that were completely unsafe. They were high as a kite and they were snogging right there. And they were, he was literally touching her up right there. I'm trying to preach with this. But do you know what? This guy, he gives his life to Jesus 3 weeks later. He was like a well-known gangster in Chesterfield. Next week, the whole row was full of his mates. All of them just sat there, all muscly guys with tattoos. He's like, you guys are coming to church, are we? Yes, you are coming to church. You know what I mean? And so, like, the thing is, we get into this thing where we get selfish and we get a bit inward looking, but we exist. We want to break decades of dark. And the thing is, the church has been in decline. We know this, but there are signs that things are turning around. There are churches growing in this nation today across this nation. I don't just mean in nations where there's like revivals and moves of God. You think of places in South America, China, Africa. I'm saying today across this nation, people will give their lives to Jesus. We want a piece of that pie, don't we? We want to see people get saved today. And so growth is health. We don't want to be those people that kind of like get inward looking and get selfish and don't want to grow and don't want to be a part of a church that's growing. That's a sin actually to repent of, because Jesus wants the lost to be saved, you know, and that's our mission. And actually, if we're not engaged in the mission, then we deserve to close our doors and not be operating in a certain community, because why we operate is to see growth. So the good news is, we are a church that loves growth. We are a church that loves the lost. And we are a church that believes, and we're praying and we're speaking faith that we are going to grow. Yeah. And we are in a season of growth. And you look around, there's a lot of spaces. It's bank holiday weekend, don't panic. But we are in a season where we are literally believing. We're making space, we're creating space in the balconies. And we just want you to be empowered, to be set on fire, to be passionate about inviting your friends to Jesus, about sharing your testimony with your friends and family, about having an ease just to be yourself and just to be what you're called to be. And so I love the sense of urgency, by the way. The master of the banquet is like, go quickly. There is a sense of urgency. Do you know this? With your friends and family. I was saying to someone the other day, literally two times in my life, God gave me this kind of like, impression, like this really need, this urgent desire to share the gospel with two different people. And within a week, those two different people, one of them had was run over and she died. And the other one, she died a week later. She had cancer. I spoke to her on a deathbed anyway, so that was obvious. But the other one, she died. And the thing is, you don't know when your time on earth is done. And so you don't know when your friends and family's time on earth is done. So there is a sense of urgency. So I'm not saying go out there and panic and have fear and just tell everybody, because, you know, but have a sense of urgency and passion for your friends, for the lost. Have the same heart as Jesus and a passion to invite people to come to Jesus. Local church is still God's primary way of reaching mankind, you know. Local church, Christians, that's you and me. Not a famous evangelist, and there are so many great anointed evangelists and moves of God, and we praise God in them. And not an event or a ministry, and not some kind of like special thing we do once a year, but the primary purpose is still the local church. The most effective way is still the congregation, all of us together, no professionals, no separation between the professional clergy and the congregation, but all of us together, hands to the plow, having a culture where we just invite. Jesus said, go ye, in the King James Version, go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you study the original language in the Greek, go ye, you'll go into, basically means this: as you go, as you journey through life, as you do life, make disciples of all nations. Something normal, a part of your life, a part of your everyday life. So you make it a part of your work life. As you go into work, make disciples of all nations. Yeah, that's good. As you go and do your shopping, have it in mind that you are going to be my witness. You are going to be salt and light. Can you see the difference here? It's not kind of like go as some kind of separate ministry, as some kind of thing you do when you go on a short-term mission trip once a year. Go as you go through life. Make disciples. Are you understanding me? In the normal, in the everyday. Don't put it on a pedestal. Evangelism's a scary thing, and it's a scary thing that I'm not called to, or it's a scary thing that only a few people are good at. And all. Let me tell you, it's just an everyday, normal part of our existence as a follower of Jesus. An everyday, normal part to share the gospel. But the problem is this, and this is true for all of us, and this is a fact, our aspirations are often bigger than our actions. We all go and amen, yes, we want to do this, but actually it's rare that we actually we are intentional, and it's rare that we actually do this and follow through with this as bodies, you know, as churches. And so we want our aspirations, we want our actions to match it. We want to be a church this year that's full of people bringing people, full of people inviting people, full of people sharing their story, sharing the gospel. And that's a dream, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Isn't that a dream? Just every week, just people bringing people. I'd love to see that. And so this series is kind of like, I hope, is going to refocus. It's preparing us. It's going to get us excited and stirred up for that. And is hopefully going to just do something. So we remember our purpose. So the most simple, effective strategy. We heard some statistics recently where I think 80% of people would be open to an invite, you know? So this is the thing. This is what I do know statistically. This is what I was reading the other day. Apparently, you take all of us in this room, 2% are here, got saved because they had a real need, you know? About 2% of people have one of those dramatic testimonies, you know? I was doing drugs, I was dying, I was killing people, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and about 2%. 3% of people just walk in randomly. We've had that before. That's amazing. We love it when people walk in. About 5% because they went to Sunday school. I think that's a certain age. We have to accept that culture has shifted. People don't send their kids to Sunday school anymore. The church is not the center of the community. And I'm not going to mourn this, because actually the church in the first century, in the early church, in the book of Acts, that wasn't the center of community. It didn't run politics and everything else. It was on the edges of society, but preaching the gospel, courageously, boldly, proclaiming Jesus is alive. We don't need that place of privilege where society comes through us, and people aren't going to walk into Sunday school anymore. Anyway, I digress. About 5% of people because they went to Sunday school. 6% of people maybe got saved because of a particular ministry or an event or an outreach. Did anybody here get saved because of a Billy Graham crusade by any chance? Louis Palau. Billy Graham. I always ask about Billy Graham because like wherever I go, every church, somebody's always got saved because of Billy Graham. What a man of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I love to do that. 0.5% got saved because of a particular gospel meeting. 3% got saved because of a church program. You know, sometimes something in the church program. 80% of people are here because someone close to them, a family member, a friend, invited them. And even though, let me tell you this as well, they're doing studies. I'm reading this book by someone called Mark Driscoll. He's quite controversial, but actually he's writing a book about non-Christian attitudes to Christians, what they believe. And actually his context is a little different because it's in America. If anything, they'll be more positive about the church than they will be in this country. But generally, people's attitudes towards Christians are negative. They think we are inflexible. They think that we don't really want to befriend them. They think that our worldview is the dominant worldview, and they should bow down to our worldview. They think that we are the opposite of tolerant. Thank you. Yeah, it's an easy one, isn't it? Intolerant. They think that we are. They think that we're more negative about things than positive. In other words, rail against this and that in society, and we'll march against this and that, and we're not really positive. They think we're negative. They think we're critical. But, weirdly enough, in his studies, he's also shown that over 70% of people would not be antagonistic if they were invited to church. Isn't that crazy? People are negative about Christians, and I get that, you know, and a lot of this is the devil and all of this stuff. We know all about that. But actually, a lot of them would be open and would just feel special if they were invited. Who's been to some random things just because you were invited because you felt special? I have. I remember sitting in a Labour working man's club in South Normanton. It was like the Wild West, I'm telling you. And I'm like, What am I doing here? Somebody who unsaved invited me, so I thought, I want to go along. I walk in, the music stops and everyone's staring at me. It's like they can smell Christian on me, do you know what I mean? It's like the lions. We're talking, it's like going back in the 70s up north, you know, double denim and cowboy boots in the middle of Derbyshire and hats, and music stopped and they all look at me like they want to hurt me, do you know what I mean? What am I doing here? I'm here because he invited me. I would never walk into this place. People would be open to an invite, you know? And people's general perception, get over it, is negative. And I don't care about that, because actually Jesus said, you know what? If you're going to be my follower, you're going to have enemies, because the world in its intrinsic system, the devil, the world, it just hates goodness and Jesus and light and life. And you will suffer some kind of persecution, even though we don't really. So let's just, you know, rejection isn't really persecution, is it? It's what, I think we can deal with that. I think we can get over that, can't we? Do you know what I mean? So we don't really suffer persecution. But at the end of the day, you know, I think, let's just have a go. Let's just have a go. Let's just give it a go before Jesus comes, you know. Let's just invite as many people. Let's be brave and courageous. Let's just get a stirring, a passion for the gospel, for Jesus. Let's invite people to church. I want you to really believe. I want you to be, look at the stuff that's gone on lately and all the things. I want you to be in a good way and proud of your church, and just know that we will preach the gospel. This is a safe place. You know, we want to make room for the lost. We don't just want to do our thing. We're not inward looking. We don't just want to sing our songs. We're not inflexible. We are open to change only for the gospel. But the message won't change. We won't water down. We won't compromise. I want you to feel safe in that. And I want us all to feel safe in that, so we can bring our friends and family to church.
That's good.
I'm proud of this place. Yeah. Are you proud of this place, mate?
Absolutely.
I love this church. You know, I love my church. And I love that we can invite people and we will preach the gospel. And all of us have this aspiration to be used by God. Mm-hmm. All of us have this aspiration to be used by God. And this is something that really gets me, is that 80% of people are here because they're invited, and 70% of people out there in here, let's separate with scary world, but 70% of people out there, they would be open to an invite. They would be positive. They wouldn't be antagonistic. Yeah. And you might need you reminding them, and might need you actually going and getting them and bringing them. Compelling them. Dragging them. No. It might need you just to really encourage them to come along. But let me tell you, most people are open and feel nice when they're wanted. And they can tell the difference, by the way, when someone's just befriending them because I want your soul. When you really care, and that's another thing, but you like, obviously be real, care and love people, and don't just befriend people because we want their souls. Here's the scary thing, you know, 70% would be open, 80% of us are here because we're invited, only 2% of us, statistically, will invite somebody this year. 98% of people will not invite or share their testimony or tell anybody about Jesus in a single year. Is that not frightening for you? Less than 3% of the churches in the United Kingdom are effective, meaning, on average, if a church is of 100 people, meaning reaching 5 people for Jesus every year. Less than 3%. So we want to be a church. We want to be effective. Effective means reaching 5. We want to be super duper duper triple 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 effective, don't we? We want to reach many, many people. We want to see many people respond to the gospel. We're going to keep throwing the net out, and we're going to keep doing it. And people ask, and people in this ministry, and this guy is also asking Christians, why don't you invite people to church? Why don't you share your gospel? Why don't you share your testimony? Why don't? And these are some of the reasons. You know, fear of rejection. It's so light, soft, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? We don't want to be soft Christians. I hate that. You know, soft and weeping like. And all of that rubbish, weeping because somebody left church. That's what I literally sat in a meeting. They were weeping because somebody left because they didn't like the music. Like, I'm so irreverent. I'm laughing. I'm partying. You know what I mean? Weeping. We're so soft. Anyway, fear of rejection. Forgetting, being too busy. Too busy for the mission of Jesus. It is the primary reason. It is our focus. It is our goal. Church, this year, LVC, please join with us. Have a passion and make the mission of Jesus your priority. As I make it my priority, as we make it our priority, as a leadership, as we make it our goal, is to see Jesus lifted high. Jesus is building his church. We're a part of that. We're going to be a part of that. The kingdom is forcefully advancing and the force will lay hold. We're going to be forceful. We're going to have drive. We're going to have passion. We're going to have intentional things to, this is rubbish words. We're going to be really focused on reaching the lost for Jesus, you know? People ask why. Fear of rejection. It's so soft. It's embarrassing. People are too busy. That's ridiculous. What an excuse, you know? Oh, I'm too busy. I've just got new oxen. Well, go to someone else then. Forget them. Or to the Christian who's too busy to reach the gospel. Well, maybe, you know, eventually, maybe Jesus has a call and a destiny for each one of us, but we have to respond. I never want to get to Jesus and he says, oh man, you had so many opportunities. I want to get to Jesus and he say, well done, good and faithful servant. Go ye means as you go through life, as you go to work, make disciples, okay? As you go through life. So as you're busy, be a witness of Jesus. Don't say I'm too busy to be a witness of Jesus. As you go through your busyness. And then they say, people's hearts are too hard. It's too difficult in our nation. Culture shifted. People are antagonistic. They blame the harvest. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is plentiful. I love it. And the context of that, by the way, is Jesus is sat at a well. At the place where you go when you're thirsty, Jesus, the water of life, is sat there. He leads this woman to Jesus. She's on her fifth husband or whatever. He speaks right into life. He doesn't judge her. He loves her. Do you know what she does? She goes into a city and she invites them to come and see. Somebody told me of everything I've ever done. She invites her whole city to Jesus. The disciples were hungry. They just got something to eat. They sat there by the well. They're eating. And Jesus is like, boys, will you look up from your food for a minute? Can you see the harvest is plentiful? There's nothing wrong with the harvest. What's scary about this whole story with this woman by the well and her inviting a whole city and Jesus saying the harvest is plentiful? What's scary is that the problem is with us. The laborers are few. Whoa. Let's celebrate together. I want to celebrate like this time next year, this time at the end of the year, I want to celebrate that the laborers in Lee Valley Church were plentiful, the harvest was plentiful, and we had a season of growth. Yeah. A season of growth. Wow. There are so many, I love this term, pre-Christians waiting to be invited. Do you like that? So many, because the harvest is plentiful. We can expect a great future LVC. God has not finished with London, with Waltham Abbey, with England. God is still moving. Souls are still being saved. We've not closed the door because our hearts are too hard. It's still possible. Salvation will still take place across this land today. And there are still moves of God out there waiting and still moves of God waiting to burst forth. We can share so many inspirational stories of churches that are growing, churches that are planting churches, churches that are just releasing people and sending people, and as a result of are seeing people saved. And we, LVC, we are going to be a church that this time next year, we're going to be full and we're going to be like, what do we do now? Like, this building is full. Do we do another meeting? Oh, or do we plan a church? Or who wants that problem? I want that problem. I love the idea of getting bigger venues or planting churches or having different services or multiple services. I don't like multiple services because I don't want to preach the same message over and over. I would be weird, wouldn't it? I've done that before. But anyway, these are good problems to have. I want you to start dreaming and believing. And the most important thing is take it on yourself and say, this is my responsibility too. And I want to be an inviter. So let's destroy some lies, you know? Yep. Let's destroy some lies. This whole thing of people being antagonistic, blaming the harvest. First lie and myth we destroy is nothing wrong with the harvest. It's plentiful. Second thing is people are antagonistic. Over 70% would be open to an invite, even if it takes them a while to get there. You have to keep reminding people. People will come. It's a fact. It's a fact. Not everybody, but people will come. We're not the center of community anymore. I don't mind about that. Culture has changed. Culture has shifted. Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still the answer. He's still the only way. And the needs are still massive, just like it always has been. And if we want to be a part of something central, if we want to be a part of an explosive movement, we have to be a movement. In other words, we have to be people on the move, people engaged in the mission, people called to action. And it's most powerful, most effective when we all are engaged, and it's not just a few of us, but when we're all caught on fire for this. This is why we want to do this series, is we want to spark a culture, a fire, a desire, a passion, an urgency to share the gospel. Will you join me with that, church? That's good. If you're a follower of Jesus, go ye means as you go. And as I finish, you know what? I'm gonna kind of like come to my conclusion now. I want you to read the most simple and effective thing. John chapter 1, we'll go from verse... What should we go from? Verse 40 something. Let's have a look. Yeah, verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Jesus turned around, saw them, and he said, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Come and you'll see." So they went with him, saw he was staying, they spent the day with him. About 4 in the afternoon. Lovely, lovely, lovely detail there. 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said. The first thing, listen to this, Andrew did was to find his brother and Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Do you know, throughout the Gospels, throughout the four Gospels, we read of Andrew bringing at least 12 different people to Jesus. The boy with the loaves of fish, the Greeks, you know. Simon Peter. Andrew was a bringer, he was an inviter. Listen to this. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, but you'll be called Cephas," Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth? Could anything good come out of Nazareth? I love that. It's like proper little bit of a rivalry there. It's like Spurs. Can anything good come out of Spurs? Anyway. Listen to what Philip said. Philip said, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael, he said, "This is truly an Israelite. How do you know me? I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Philip, the simplest thing, "We found the Messiah from Nazareth." Nazareth, are you having a laugh? He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't argue apologetics. He doesn't get offended. He doesn't stick up for Nazareth. What do you know about Nazareth, my friend? He just says, "Come and see." The most simplest, effective strategy. Come and see. And he brings him to Jesus. And Jesus does this. "You're truly a true Israelite." In other words, your name Israel means wrestles with God. "I saw you under that fig tree praying. There's a buzz going about John the Baptist is preaching the gospel. You're like sitting under the fig tree, probably wrestling with your own sin. You know, there's this whole buzz about the Messiah. And let me tell you, I saw you while you were still under that tree praying." He brings him to Jesus. He sat under the tree probably thinking the Messiah should be from Jerusalem in a palace. It should be like Rambo. But Jesus, from Nazareth. Nazareth is 4 miles away from Bethsaida. It's like proper, like, you know what I mean? It's like Waltham Cross versus Waltham Abbey. But Jesus doesn't get into all of this. He just says, "I saw you." Philip brings Nathanael. Jesus does the rest. Do you know it's Jesus who saves?
Yeah, that's right.
God who saves, the Holy Spirit. You don't have to save anyone. Take the pressure off you. Don't get upset and weep. Why is people getting saved when I preach? They go, why? And we weep. And sometimes we spend all our time, we waste our time with the people that are absolutely going to be antagonistic, absolutely going to be, "I'm too busy, I've got 12 new yoke of oxen." And Jesus is like, sometimes you've got to say, "Okay, God love you, I love you, but I've got to go and invite some people that will actually be open. I can't spend my whole life, all my hours trying to convince you who's got all of these arguments and you love your intellect and you've got all these reasons why. I'll keep inviting, I'll keep praying for you, but I need to invite other people as well." It's a principle. So excited and full of joy, he brings Nathanael. And as I finish, I want to say this. Philip loved that he found Jesus. Andrew did. They were impacted by meeting with Jesus. They valued Jesus so much, they wanted everybody to know and come and see him. So it's a gentle challenge. Do we value Jesus so much we want people to know Jesus, you know? Do we love Jesus so much we want everybody in our world, everybody in our workplaces, everybody in our friends and family, we want them to meet with Jesus as well. And the most simple strategy is a come and see strategy. Come and see for yourself. Invite people to church. Invite people to come to know Jesus. Share your testimony. Say, share how you became a Christian. Share what the gospel is. It's Jesus and Jesus only. And have a come and see approach and let sit back and be amazed and let Jesus do the rest. I'm telling you, there are stories in this room. Some of us have been saved. We were the least expected. If they did a vote, we'd be the least expected to become Christians or be in church. You know? And there are people out there. And yet we get into this thing where we start judging and thinking other people or not. Let me tell you, just have a come and see. And it wasn't, by the way, a go and see. The woman by the well, she brought them physically. Come and see. Philip brought, come and see. It's not go and see. Go and check it out. Go check out. It was a physical thing where they brought them to Jesus and helped them get there. So as we finish, I want to say this. You know, God has got a heart where he just wants his house full. And that's why he's like, he's no respecter of people. No one person is worth more value to him than another person. One race more value than another race. More one class more value than, for everybody. Everybody's valuable to God. And so he wants us to invite everybody, throw the nets out far and wide. He wants us to have a heart that will just have invitational hearts, a come and see approach. And he wants his house full. And the primary way God reaches the world is still the local church. It's a privilege to be a part of the local church. I believe one day Jesus will come again. We're living in exciting times. It's great to be a part of church. And it's great to be a part of something that's growing and something that's not selfish, immature, where we get offended and divided and criticized. I've been in churches like that. Believe you me, it's horrible. Backbiting, all that rubbish. But we're in a church that's healthy, we're focused, we've got a mission, we're excited, and we're full of faith, and it's good to be a part of it. Engage in it, grab a hold of it, and believe Jesus. Amen? Amen. Good thing.